things, and then we'll get right into our lesson today. First of all, I want to thank some people for last week who stepped in Brendan and I's absence. I want to thank Bob, and I'll call him Stop, Drop, and Roll Bob. And that was a great, great lesson. If you didn't hear it, you need to get online and listen to it. It was really, really good. And I always appreciate and learn so much when I listen to Bob. I've listened to it twice, and so it's making an impact on me. I want to thank Mike and Mike Spirit in the Sky, Nontel. And what did you like that little intro last week? I love that. And Mila and the band and everybody who was there. It seemed like a really good Jim and Sue Ellen. I don't think they're here today, but really appreciate those guys. And having some real feedback here. Is there anything I can do about that? Nope. Step back, step up. There we go. Okay. I want to say I am sorry. I was I misspoke 2 weeks ago when I said I shouldn't have said I was acting like I was poo-pooing going to Washington. When I went to Washington, I wasn't expecting much, and I got blown away by the majesty of our history. I got blown away by the kindness of people. I went there expecting protest, expecting all kinds. I didn't see hardly anything like that. Nothing. And I felt nothing but kindness in people and love. And it just reminded me that I think so much of things that are out there just shape our attitude and actions about way things are. And I'm not talking about anything about politics here. I'm just saying I was really, our country has a great history. And I was so glad we went. And so I told you I wasn't looking forward. I would like to go back. That's how much I liked it. I loved every part about it. And so anyway, I wanted to say that and make that out in the atmosphere so you know about that today. Okay, let's get into our lesson today. Let's pray and about camp. Thank you so much again. Thank you. I can't reiterate everything everybody said. It was just a great year. Thanks. Jesus, we come now and we just bear down for the next few minutes to think about what you would have for us today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your steadfastness. I thank you that you've given us a way out of the things that we have in our life, and then we can take charge of the things that this world throws at us, and we can combat the evil that is around us, and we have a way, and you've given us that way. God, just open our eyes and our hearts a little bit today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the next couple weeks I'm going to talk, I've named our series, I Am Decided. And Dave Baker and Patty and all them, they have a song that they sing called I Have Decided. And I love that song. And I remember that hymn from years and years and years ago. And I kind of listened to that song several times as Dave and Patty and different groups would sing that song. And it really is a potent song for me. I'm going to talk more about the song next week. But I think it goes to the whole scope of this next several weeks that we're going to talk about. Because when you think about I Have Decided, it's always an invitation song. It's always a ministry song to come forward and take Jesus into your life. But I think there's so much more about that song than there is. It's because it says there's no turning back. There's no turning back. Well, what does that mean? It means that you have to make some choices. You have to make some decisions that guide you in your life as you navigate the things that God has for you in this world. And so you have to pre-decide many, many things in your life. If you do not pre-decide when something comes at you, you will act out of emotion. You will act out of emotion that generally emotion can be wrong. Emotion can take us down places that we never thought we ever wanted to go. And so today I want to talk about it's an introduction. My whole lesson today is an introduction. So I'm not even going to get into the meat until the next couple of weeks. So I encourage you to come back and we're going to talk about that. Today, specifically, I just want to introduce the whole concept of what we're going to talk about. So let's get right into it. What do you think about when you think about the people who have their lives together and they're really fulfilled, and you look at somebody and you look at their life and they seem to really enjoy their life? You look at them and they seem to have made good decisions, good financial decisions, good decisions in their love life, good decisions with their kids, and you look at them and say, why are they like that? Why are they seemingly that way, and I have so many problems in my life? I have so many areas that I struggle with, so many places now that because of choices I've made that I just find myself at a place where I don't know what to do. What's the difference between those people that we look around? Some of you have noticed those people, and some of you maybe are those people. But when you notice this, what's the difference? What is the difference between those and them? And I think the difference is not their intelligence. I don't think that they're smarter than us. I don't think that they're smarter than you. I don't think it's talent. It's not even their appearance or maybe even their upbringing. I believe I would say it's down to the decisions that they make when they're offered a decision or a choice. They know ahead of time what they're going to do. They've got it pre-made in their mind. It boils down to that. And I would even say this morning, that the quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. Let me say that again. The quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. Of course, who's behind those decisions should be the Lord as He leads us. The problem is, most of us are not good decision makers. Most of us are pretty lousy decision makers. We want to eat right. We want to eat the right things. We want to put the right things in our body. And then we go to our work and it's somebody's birthday and there's a piece of cake and there's two pieces of cake or there's donuts and there's two donuts, and on and on and on. Or we decide to buy things that we can't afford. Or maybe we can afford them, but we buy them anyway. And we spend money, and we spend money, and we spend money without even thinking about what we're spending money on. Every one of us in this room has problems with the choices that we make. Have you ever done something, and when you've done it, you've had instant regret? Or have you ever bought something and then you regret it down the road? You ever had regrets? Man, every one of us have regrets. Every one of us have regrets of things that we've done, of decisions we've made, of choices we've had in our lives. Why do we struggle? Still getting it, Randy. Is there any way? I'm going to back up some more. Anything to help? Nope. Okay. I'll just live with it. So why do we struggle? Why do we struggle so much with making these choices that shape the quality of our life, that shape the decision and the direction that we're going to go? I believe there's at least three reasons, and I want to broach those very quickly today, and they're this. We are overwhelmed with choices. We are overwhelmed with choices. Every one of us in this room have so many choices. Today, this morning, by the time I got up at 7:11 exactly. I don't know why. I woke up at 7:11 a.m. And that was late for me. So I got up at 7:11 and I started counting just for fun because I knew I was going to be talking about this today. The decisions it would take to get me to church this morning. I stopped at 8:25 because I was at 3,000 choices. 3,000 choices before I got to 8:25. What I was gonna, you know, this pill and my toothbrush and to move and to shower here and to do this and to you know and to shave and to do, and I'm gonna stop. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me nuts. And they tell us that the average American, the average person, makes about 35,000 decisions a day. And you think, really? No, I don't. But you think about it, and you really do. You make so many choices. And from the moment you wake up, and there's all these things that come at you every day. And what happens when these choices come at us, it makes our decision-making muscle get fatigued. It's fatigued, and we go, oh, whatever. Yeah, I'll just put that in my body. Oh, whatever, I just won't brush my teeth today. Oh, whatever, I just won't, you know, I won't shower. Or whatever, I won't shave, or whatever I want. You know. And that decision goes into the really deep decision things that we struggle with in relationships, in love, in all of our life. And so we're fatigued. Another reason we have trouble making decisions is because we make the wrong choices. We make the wrong choices. And when we make the wrong choices, what happens is, if you're a Christian, you really beat yourself up because you go, oh, I don't want to do what God doesn't want me to do, right? I don't want to do what, if God doesn't want me to do this, I don't want to do it. I don't want to buy this house. I don't want to buy this car. I don't want to go to this place. I don't want to go. I don't want to do that because God may not want me to do that. I hope that's in your decision-making process. And so we have this fear of making the wrong choice. Boy, some of you did that when you were dating, didn't you? Is this going to be the right one? Is this going to be right? Is he right for me? Yeah, this fear of making the wrong choice. Why do we struggle to make good decisions? Another reason is because we let our emotions overrule what's really our emotion. It just takes and it just overrules us. When we get angry, then we just blow right through what we know we shouldn't do. And we scream and we yell at each other and we say horrible things that nobody should say to anybody. Why do we do that? Because we let our emotions override what we know is right. Because we don't make these pre-decisions. We are not decided. We are not. We think we may be, but we are not. Because if you did, you would stop. How many of you thought there was a place you had a line and you've crossed the line and it horribly affected your life? There's many of you in here could tell story after story after story of where one choice took your life down a path that you never, ever, ever thought it would go. Just think about it. The difference between a right and a left, and I'm not talking political, I'm talking a turn of a right or a left could make a difference, because if I turn right, I may live. If I turn left, there may be a speeding car that the brakes are out of, and here they come. Can I do anything about that? Probably not. But we have to understand that our choices shape us. Our choices give us the quality of life that God has called us to. Why do choices matter so very much? Because the quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. If you're here today and your life is in the dumpster, you better look at your choices. If you're here today and you're struggling with your marriage, you better think about some of the choices that you made. You see, we make our decisions, and we make that decision, what happens is that choice ends up making us. And it makes us into who we are. And one of the best ways to be a forward-looking, God-loving, Jesus person is to decide now before you get to later. To decide now before you get to later. I used to talk to teens all the time. And teens would always ask, how far can I go? How far can I go? That was always the first question as a Christian. And today, we don't even hardly talk about that because it's like, you know, everybody's going to have sex. My kid's going to have sex. That's just what my kid is. He's a, you know, it's these days, they're hopefully they'll get married and they're just going to have sex. It's okay. But if you don't pre-decide, that's a perfect instance. You have to pre-decide that this is the line. This is where I will stop. If you don't have it, I used to say that to hundreds and hundreds of teens I'd speak. And I said, you got to decide where your line is. And that's the way with all life. You have to decide where the line is. What is God going to let you tolerate? What is God? You say, well, how close can I get to the edge? That's not the question. You know, if I was a pilot and I was going to get into my plane, and I wouldn't think, you know, how little gas can I get in my plane and still get to New York? I wouldn't do that. I would fill my tank up. I would fill it up. Why? Because I don't want to fall in the sky. But we treat our lives just the same, don't we? How close can we get? How close can we get to financial bankruptcy? How close can I get to this? And how close can and we play with fire after fire after fire? One of the best tools you can do is to decide now before you get to later. I love what Proverbs 16:3 says. I think it's going to come up on your screen. Whatever you do, Jeff, whatever you do, Dave, whatever you do, Deb, whatever you do, Mila, commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. What does that mean? You don't just, hey, God, I'm going to do this. This thing I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. Would you put your stamp on it? No. God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek. And God, I want you to show me. I want you to show me this decision. Well, what if he doesn't answer? What if I don't have a feeling? Then don't do it. Don't do it. How many of you have made these choices hastily, and you got in it, and you go, what the heck did I just do? What happened? Whatever you do, commit to the Lord. Whatever you do, if you're married, commit your marriage. If you're parenting, commit your parenting. If you're commit your kids to the Lord. If you're making financial decisions, commit your financial decisions to the Lord. If you're working at the pool, if you're working at the Dairy Queen, if you're working at an insurance office, if you're talking about where you're going to go to college, commit it to the Lord. Do we even do that anymore? Do you even pause for a second to say, God, please bless this thing that I'm getting ready to do? I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure that's right. See, Scripture says when you commit everything to the Lord, and he says this, and this is the end of that verse, he will establish your plans. He will establish your love life. He will establish your financial life. He will establish your health. He will establish your plans. Everything. Seek him first. Should I look at something? Should I buy something? Should I reach out to that person? Should I respond? Should I yell? Should I cuss at him? What should I do? You better commit it to the Lord. You better commit it to the Lord. So if you're here today and you've got problems with impulse purchases, and you go to a store or you go to a yard sale and you're there and somebody says, I'll give it to you for 50% off. Or you go to Kohl's and it's 40% off and you don't really need it, but oh, it's 40% off and I'm going to buy it. You may be the kind of person that needs to say, when I'm tempted to make an impulse purchase, I've already pre-decided this is what I'm going to do. I won't do that. I want to tell you a little secret about some success that God has given me in one area of my life, and it has been this area. Not impulse buying, but just buying things. Most of my purchases today are always stuff that I buy for camp, almost always. I don't buy anything for my home anymore. I just buy stuff for camp because I believe in camp. I believe I spend so much of my money and our treasure on the camp, on keeping it going, keeping it looking the way it is. And so I have to buy equipment all the time. I'm constantly buying mowers. I'm constantly buying, you know, and I don't always buy the best mowers. And the other day, a couple of weeks ago, my Michael can tell you about that. Shut up, Michael. So I bought my power washer went bluey, just blew up. And I use that thing all the time because every year, man, all those little buildings we got down there, they just get covered. They get covered and everything. So I was like, what am I going to do? I need a power washer, but I didn't have any extra money. I didn't have any money that says that's going to the power washer. Well, ended up, I did someone's wedding. And I got some money, and so I was like, oh, I'm going to need a power washer. And I looked around, and I saw the price of new ones. I'm like, I'm not buying a new one. So I went and I started looking on Facebook. That's my jam. And so I went to Facebook, and I'm looking at Facebook, and I find this one. I go down. It's down in Franklin Lakes. I get down there, and the guy's got it for $100. I'm like, oh, man, that looks great. Starts it up. It starts. He says, you like it? I said, I love it. He says, you want it? I said, I want it. He says, okay, well, let's make the transition. I said, no, I'll be back tomorrow. He said, well, I may sell it tomorrow. I said, that's all right. I told myself I wouldn't buy anything. And so what I've done is I made a deal with myself. I won't do anything over $20 that I don't think 12 to 24 hours over. I will never make a purchase. Never, ever, ever, ever. And so the guy says, you're crazy. You really like it? Yeah, I like it. Why? I made this deal with myself that I won't do it. He said, okay. I said, if it's here, it's supposed to be mine. If it's not, it's not. So I showed back up the next day. I texted him and said, I think I'd like it. So I went. He says, I'm going to give it to you for $50. He gave it to me for $50. I've never seen anybody do that in my life. He gave it to me for $50. And I got a great power washer. $50. It's because I pre-decided. It's because I decided ahead of time. And it doesn't always work out that, you know, Michael fixes half the junk that I fix. But that one worked out. You got to set some lines. You got to set some lines. It's important to do that. And so here's what I want you to take out of this. You take your burdens that you've got about the worries that you have in life and about the things that you got to do and the places you got to be and the purchases you got to make, and you give them to God and you cast them on Him and you make them His choices. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You're going to decide in advance to pray that they don't just go to hell, but that they go to heaven. You know, how many times have you been in traffic and you say, I pray they go to hell. Now, you don't say that, but you say the opposite. And how about God make them go to heaven, but maybe not right now, you know? And it just has to come kind of more natural, you know? But you've got to pre-decide. I've decided ahead of time that I'm not going to do those kinds of things. I'm not going to let emotion get the best of me. And when you look at Scripture, and I'm not going to do a ton of Scripture today because I'm going to do a bunch in the coming weeks, but there's two particular things. There's five Bible stories that I could go on and on about, but there's two particular. Genesis tells us a story about when God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, Abraham. Can you imagine that? I want you to take your son and I want you to kill him. And he comes to him in this moment, and he says, take your kid and I'm going to have you kill him. And Abraham said, okay. Why did Abraham say okay? Because he was decided. He knew that God would take care of it. He knew that God had the answer to his problem. He knew that God would show him a way where there didn't seem to be a way, and he trusted God. Ruth and Naomi, we find them, their story. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth made a very strong commitment to Naomi, and she decided ahead of time what she was going to do. No matter what you're going to do, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God, even though he's not my God right now. That's scary as heck. But she pre-decided, wherever your God takes you and you, I'll go. That's trust. That's faith. How's your faith today? Is it like that? Is your faith like that, where you can trust God to say, whatever, God, wherever you take me, wherever we go, whatever happens? I want to ask you this today. I got several questions for you, and then we're going to close. I'm just about done. What do you value? What do you value? What's the most important thing to you? I want you to get it. Grab onto it right now. What's the most important thing to you right now? When somebody's doing your funeral, what do you want people to say about you that you were known for? Do you want it to be that they were a good fisherman? That they were an avid Colts fan? Tom's case of Green Bay. I'm sorry, Tom. Really? They love the Colts. I'm sorry, guys, but there's got to be more than that to life. So this summer, I want you to get, that's why I'm kind of doing this. Usually, you know, we don't get down and serious in the summer, but I think it's time to get a little serious with our faith and with our life. What is God calling you to do today to value? And if what you value doesn't, you say I value it, but if it's not something you're spending all your time and your treasure on, then you don't. I'm going to call you a little bit of a liar. You're going down the wrong route. I hope that some of you are thinking, maybe I want to be faithful. I'm hoping some of you say, I want to be pure. I'm hoping some of you here want to say, I don't want to be known for this guy that was always outside the boundaries of his marriage. I don't want to be the guy that was always looking on the internet, known as the guy that was doing the stuff that his wife goes, what in the world? Why is he doing that? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be known for that guy. Because when your values are clear, church, when your values are clear, your decisions get easier. Here's what I promise you. This is how this is going to play out again and again and again. And it'll save you from situations, from unwise decisions that you will regret for the rest of your life. Here's what happens. If your decisions determine direction, then your direction determines your destiny, determines the trajectory of your life. And so if your life is heading like this, then the reason it is not because God doesn't love you. It's because of the poorness of your choices. You have chosen most of the things in your life that are hurting you. So when you look at what you value, ask yourself, are my choices taking me in that direction? Are my choices that I'm making with my treasure and my time and my effort, are they taking me in that direction, or are they taking me away from it? And if they're taking you away from it, I want to say to you as kind as I can, What are you doing? What are you doing? It's time to take your life back. I am decided to do something different today. I am decided to do something different this summer than the way my life has been going. I gotta be as truthful with you as I can, and this is why it's shaped the lesson. It's partly out of my own life experience and partly some things that I've been reading in a book recently. If I could be honest, and I want you to be honest too, and that's why I want to try to be honest with you. Most days, I'm very inconsistent. I want to be consistent. I want to do the same thing over and over and over again. I want to have the spiritual disciplines down. I want to love others. I want to take time to be present in people's lives. Most times, I'm inconsistent. And I believe what will bring great value and faith to all of us is consistency, doing the same thing over and over. Ask Kim Woodall, what is the secret of a good bowler? It's being consistent time after time after time, going in the same direction. You just figure out the movements, and then it becomes natural. It goes right where it's supposed to go. And even the best bowlers can't control it all the time. I understand that. I also know that I'm not always I'm unintentional, and I need to be more intentional. I know what I mean by that is that instead of being proactive and prayerful and thinking about how my choices today affect tomorrow, man, I would be so much different of a person I know today if I would have had this 20, 30 years ago. I know I would have. There's many things that I look at my life and I call them regrets because I wasn't intentional and I didn't think about the future. I didn't think about tomorrow. I know the Bible says not to have any forethought about tomorrow, but there's certain things that you've got to think about. It starts with your spiritual, it goes to the physical, and it goes to your mental. All those things have to come together. And I even hate to say this out loud, but by nature, I'm pretty selfish. I like to think about what I want. And you too. We want our comfort. We want this thing with us, and we want what we want. We want our spouse to notice this in us. We want our kids to do this for us. We want all this. And we just are very selfish people. And so God wants us to be more, much, much more than the sum of these things. And another problem that I have is I'm very short-sighted. What I mean by that, if I often do what feels good in the moment and I don't think about the long-term consequences, it got me to where I am in some areas of my life today. And you can say the very same thing. And I want to save us. I want God to save us from pain and the hurt that many of us are going through today. When you know who you are and know what to do. Say it again. When you know who you are, you know what to do. And when you know whose you are, you know even a better way to do it. And you don't need help from drugs. You don't need help from alcohol. You don't need help from anything. But you got to know who you are and whose you are in order to take even a step. So there's six things I want to share with you as we close. There's six things. I think they're going to come up on the thing here. The next four or five weeks we're going to talk about, I want to be ready because I believe Satan wants to take you out. Satan wants to take you out. When you go to make that choice, that we got to start there. Satan wants to take you out. Before you even make this decision, he wants you to take you out. We're going to talk about being more consistent. I am consistent. And I put this I am because I started with I am decided. And what does God say about I am this, I am that God? And that God gets us right there. I am ready. I am consistent. I am devoted. I'm more faithful. I know what I believe, and I move towards those directions of my beliefs instead of when somebody says, well, they're killing babies. Well, you know, but a woman has... No, there's not an argument. There becomes, I'm devoted. I know what I know what I know. I'm generous. I take what God gives me and I use it to help other people, not just me, not just my pockets, not just my 401k, not just my surroundings. We'll talk about that. I'm faithful and I'm a finisher. What I say I'm going to do, I do. All of us have things that we've done in our lives where we start out like a ball of fire. I'm going to do this. And it just goes by the wayside. God is calling us today to take our lives back. And I think it's a good time to start, right in the middle of summer. The good news is this. If you're here today, and you're thinking, Jeff, I've made so many bad decisions, I wouldn't even know where to start. I've made a lot of bad ones, and I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm surviving, I've kept the wolves at bay, and I'm still married to my wife, and she loves me, I think, and you know, well, here's the good news. Your decisions won't be based on the emotion in a moment, but on the values that God has placed in your heart. When you ask God to place those values in your heart, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask God, put those values in me. Because when your values are clear, your decisions are easy. And some really, really good news is, since we're not good decision makers, the good news is we're not saved by the quality of our choices. We are saved by the grace of God. Thank the Lord. He doesn't look at us based on our stupid screw-ups. I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. No, we're based on His good and perfect grace. And so for the next several weeks, I'm inviting you to step into the presence of the goodness of God and to see what He would have for you. Let's pray as the band comes.